Our scientists found a neighboring system where they landed and set up headquarters on four young planets capable of harboring life as we know it. In time, our civilization improved conditions on the remaining three planets of the system, and now we occupy the entire solar system known as Alpha Centauri. The spaceships used to take our civilization to Alpha Centauri are known as motherships, vintage ships still in use to this time. We carried the horses, cattle and other gentle types of animals in these spaceships to their new homes in the system of Alpha Centauri, and also many species of birds. Scientists left a remnant of their people on Earth to father a new race of mankind adapted to a flaring star. They maintained the lands in the far northern hemisphere of the planet, as natural upheavals through the eons changed the face of the lands, and the of these people are now so interbred and sorely affected by continuous cycles of climatic and environmental changes and extremes of weather, as to be almost unrecognizable, except for some of them here and there, to the tall golden-skinned race of mankind with aquiline features and almond eyes, who are our forebears from Venus, and who were far removed from the present savagery of the human mind in the intensity and depravity of the present time on Earth. Violence and annihilation will be the outcome for men of Earth, unless they change their attitude of mind and become enlightened to the truths of the universe in which they live, and follow their forebears into space to find the escape route to the stars and their destiny. Harsh, precarious existence is endured by the inhabitants of Earth, where rigid social laws have to be maintained, or others are trampled beneath the rushing feet of their avid companions, in a world where politics and a primitive system still exist. Aha, I thought, now is the time for straight talking and the truth, as Alkin began to speak. According to Earth scientists, stellar distances are expressed in parsecs, 1 parsec being the distance at which the angle of parallax is I second of arc, 30 billion kilometer or 3.26 light years. The parallax of the nearest star to Earth, Proxima Centauri, is 0.76, corresponding to a distance of 1.31 parsecs or 4.3 light years. To use the light year, since light traveling at 300,000 kilometers a second covers some 10 billion kilometers in a year, this means that the distance between Earth and Proxima Centauri is about 42 billion kilometers. Thetan mentioned before, when we were in the mothership, that these stars, a triplet system, are of type G or K, similar to the Sun, and that this star system known as Alpha Centauri is 39 billion kilometers or 4 light years from Earth. Therefore, this star system is closer to Earth than astronomers have calculated. Stellar distance determination is difficult even in the case of the nearer stars, with present instruments. Astronomers classify a star by its spectral lines, then its intensic luminosity can be inferred and hence, its distance estimated from its apparent brightness in the sky. Twinkling stars seem to be related to star-like objects and not to extragalactic nebulae. Astronomers thought that these objects might actually be stars. A radio source lies in the direction of the constellation Centaurus from a distant galaxy of unusual mass and brightness. This galaxy possesses a nucleus equivalent to 100 million suns concentrated in a volume of space smaller than that occupied by the solar system. The twinkling radio source is coming from this galaxy out in intergalactic space. Earth scientists still cannot grasp the concept of cosmic knowledge and understanding. One's mind needs to encompass the entire universe to realize and know what it is all about. Instruments are still limited and affected by the Sun's corona. It was mentioned earlier, when we were in the mothership, that the Sun's tenuous corona extends so far from the visible disk that the Earth and Mars are enveloped in it. This simply means that Earth and its atmospheric sheath is not moving in a perfect vacuum at all, and that the tenuous corona or outer atmosphere of the Sun, known as the ecosphere, is at a temperature suitable for the existence of advanced life. In other words, the three planets, Venus, Earth and Mars, are within the temperature range of the Sun which permits the existence of active life as we know it. We can't see the corona encircling the Sun like a halo, the pulsing streamers of the Sun's atmosphere. Further out it becomes more tenuous and invisible, which is the outer atmosphere or ecosphere. The corona is best observed from Earth during a total eclipse. The sun's corona is a dense concentration of the particles that radiate to the outer regions of the solar system. Exoplanet is the outer atmosphere of a planet. All this data is observed by us from a cosmic understanding. It must all be observed as a whole. It is no good observing and understanding your environment in the galaxy by what goes on in the bottom of your garden. We do not feel the effect of cosmic storms at the bottom of our garden because we live at the bottom of an ocean of air that provides a stout shield against the rays that bombard our planet. Solar flares burst from the surface of the sun. These flares are responsible for the solar storms that bombard the Earth with abnormal amounts of radiation. This also occurs from the surface of stars in this system, but owing to the distance between our star Proxima Centauri and the binary system of Alpha Centauri, we call the entire star system a triplet system, we are not unduly affected by solar storms. The average separation between the stars in a spiral arm is 8 light-years. Our science and knowledge of these distances, of course, is quite different, because our civilization and achievements are far in advance of anything known on Earth. I am outlining these simple explanations in Earth terms, so that when you write this down, my beloved, the average person on Earth will have an understanding of their environment within the cosmos. Their minds are, as a rule, restricted to their backyards. Do you think it would help to give them more information? I asked. Definitely not. They would only use it for political and military purposes, Akin sternly replied, as he continued. So you see, this star which is nearest your sun lies at a distance of more than 4 light-years, which is roughly equal to 39 billion kilometers, according to Earth astronomers as their calculations vary. Alpha Centauri is a binary system and Proxima, at 4.2 light-years, is a far-out member of the Alpha Centauri group. Alpha Centauri they calculate as being at a distance of 4.3 light-years. All this makes Venus and Mars very close by to Earth people, and Earth lies near the center of the Sun's ecosphere region, which gives it an advantage over Venus and Mars. There is thunderstorm activity in the atmosphere of Venus as the upper atmospheric layers are cold, while those near the surface are very hot. We are now improving these conditions to cool the atmosphere to surface level in order to bring about precipitation from these thunderstorms and thereby, moisture and the cooling of the land, and then flooding to create lakes and seas. Mars still has active volcanoes, which are the breath of life, and the riverbeds will run once more with the waters of life as we take over these planets again to prevent the want and destruction which can if be their lot, if humankind from Earth take over. Oh, I am so glad, I softly said. There is much more to tell you, but that must wait now, Akin said. The fantastic scene shimmered away into nothing. I was stunned and overwhelmed by the magnitude of it all, and above all, by these wonderful people who had overcome fear of the unknown and moved out into the vast reaches beyond their home system, out beyond their known ken to explore and prepare for future generations and then, to bring the magic lease of life back to Venus and Mars. The orange disk of Proxima Centauri lowered in the sky towards the mountains with the slow rotation of Meton. The trees cast long shadows over the emerald sward and the vast expanse of sea darkened in its blueness, but night did not come. The magnificent twin stars of Alpha Centauri rose over the sea, filling the atmosphere with a golden light, and the swelling chorus of many birds. The fresh tang of the sea filled the room, as Plough went on to tell me, we do not have books, but keep our history in visual sound libraries such as these magnetic rolls which, when electrified, show the scene portrayed across the room. These rolls go back in time to when our scientists perfected such means of reflections in time, like photographing images in the atmosphere such as thought form, and planetary scenes of the past, present and future. We can hear the hissing breath of a planet vibrating in the sound waves of time, fanning out beyond the light barrier, sounding on the harmonic chords of the heart rhythm of the parent race, and we go to gather it back into the fold. And that is what you are now doing to Venus and Mars. How wonderful to have this awareness of a planet's life, that a planet is a living entity and entitled to care and consideration like anything E1 say, I reflected. And you, my dear, were ready to come out into the depths of personal experience and have therefore attained this privilege of being witness to other worlds beyond your own. We are affinities in mind and closer than sisters. And Claire put her arm about me, lifting me out of the soft couch. Come, she said. I will take you to your bed where you must now rest. I've went up the gently sloping stairs to the first floor and into a room leading off the circular balcony. Half of the circular wall of the room was open to the fresh air and a low oval divan lay in the center of the room, covered with rose-red silk. A toilet room opened in the wall with a large sunken bath, long mirrors and exotic plants growing round the glowing walls. The sunken bath was in the middle of the room, made of mother-of-pearl. Claire slipped my silken gown off and gently, but very firmly, laid me down on the divan and proceeded to massage my back with long firm strokes. I stretched out on the firm comfort of the divan and felt every muscle in my body relax, and then Akin was the bending over me and he kissed my forehead. I knew the time of birth was at hand and relaxed in mind and body as Akin calmly organized the birth of his son by endearing words and mass 3GV his healing hands. I felt the power of his hands on my body with gentle massage over my tummy and down my thighs, encouraging my confidence, erasing all tension and creating an atmosphere of joy and contentment by his loving care and attention. Gently, turning me onto my side again, he massaged my back. No pangs of contraction coursed through my thighs. There was a silence so deep, as I felt Akin's hands turn me onto my back again and he tenderly stroked my hair back and told me to go to sleep, wandering in my half-asleep state where I had heard him say this before. My mind was illuminated suddenly with the vision and knowledge of our perfect unity and I knew we had always been together through the pastures of time. Again, Akin spoke softly to me. Push down gently. Take a deep breath and push again. There was no tension, no pain, no sense of labor or strain, as Akin placed my feet flat on the divan, bending my knees up and holding them wide apart. I had a sense of comfort and well-being, as if I were floating on a cushion of air, yet I was aware that I was full dilated and ready to give birth to our son. Then suddenly, with no effort at all, just a deep feeling of achievement and pleasure, he was born gently and smoothly, coming away with the placenta. Akin extricated him from it and Claire dried him and moisturized with the fragrance of the sea, a beautiful son for you both. He is perfectly formed with your golden hair and eyes. Born naturally and easily, his debut into the outside worlds is completely without shock to his system. And Claire placed him in my arms to suckle. His smooth golden skin was without wrinkles and as I gathered his warm naked body to my breast, Akin put his arms about us both. My beloved brought me back to the universe and the knowledge of who I am through the golden glory of love's light, and the unfathomed seas of space revealed the truth of life where love and creation is the secret. We all rejoiced in the happiness of our unity as many friends and relatives came from far and wide to see Akin's son. He is unusual and very special, he will become a great scientist, they said. His growing period was full of wonder for me. He gently suckled the milk of life from me and as his beautiful white teeth formed, he turned to the natural diet we all shared. At no time, did Akin and I leave him alone. He shared the music with us, he went with us on Akin's back for walks or when we rode the white horses to the mountains, or bathed in the sea. The pure air and healthy climate, with delicious foods and water full of vitamins and trace elements soon restored my health. Akin made us have long periods of sleep stretched out on the comfortable divan, and my son would snuggle into my arms. He never cried as earth babies do, he was happy and contented but always full of life and intelligence, taking note of everything around him. Nothing escaped his discerning golden eyes, his rapidly forming intellect, as he grew into a beautiful child, gentle and considerate. He slept long hours on his own divan in our room where he was born, the beautiful room opened to the sky, while Akin and I spent our time together tending the gardens, the horses and the birds, or playing lovely music on stringed instruments, and lying together on the big divan for hours of peaceful slumber and love. I played an instrument with a keyboard like a piano and found that I could create the most lovely music by just playing the notes in the same fashion as a piano keyboard. The white notes were made of pearl with a pink luster and the black notes of deep red garnets, that looked black without light underneath. It was a lovely little musical instrument like a celesta, hand-carved from the golden wood of the mountain trees which gave it a harmonious soundboard. I loved it so much and wished I could always have one, and Akin would gently say, "Perhaps you will, my beloved." The days were serene and glorious. Sometimes great cumulus clouds would build up bringing the rains across the land and the seas, and Akin would take us away in his planetary craft, a small replica of his scientific spaceship, to other parts of the planet and show us the beauty of the islands and vast seas. We hovered over glistening polar caps and then would land on an island covered in green parklands where homes in low circular buildings glistened in the golden daylight. We often landed on the top of one of the homes to visit friends and spend some time with them, sometimes for days. I had no idea of the time as we keep in on Earth, but I sense the time going so very fast, and I dare not think of the future. I just live for the glory of the moving present. I have attuned your heart to the higher vibratory rate emanating from the radiations of light in this system, which has stepped up the time continuum on Meeton, that you are now sensing, Akin answered my thoughts. There were no cities or skyscrapers as Earth people know there anywhere on Meeton. Homes were scattered in park-like grounds with flowering shrubs and beds of brilliant flowers and smooth green lawns that needed no cutting or trimming as the grass covered the ground like a springy moss. _ There was an abundance of all things needed by the civilization, food, water and all materials for building, an unlimited supply of energy on tap from the atmosphere and the universe, no shortages of any kind and no monetary system at all. A perfectly organized way of life with an abundance of all things as the inhabitants tend and care for all aspects of life within this great and powerful civilization. There are no films of violence, horror and murder. No drugs, drinking or smoking, no comics for children full of the horrors of life on Earth, a corrupt civilization whose past and present is satiated with cruelty and slavery, with a horrifying record of shooting and violence. All this type of thing, a way of life on Earth, is taboo on Meeton. Nobody wants to see it. It is not necessary. It is only for barbarians, where loathsome and savage foes howl at the gates of their cybers. _Akin's civilization had created an utopia and kept it entirely apart from contamination by other civilizations. A way of life, a way of thinking, an attitude of mind, a high level of existence, all these things had to be protected from destruction by others thus evolved. There is the vital matter of hygiene. This must not be vitiated by contact with less advanced peoples. How lovely it was to live amongst these wonderful people and watch our son grow and start running about, and hear him call me, mother. That was simply thrilling for me. There was always so much to do of great interest and excitement, and it was such a pleasure to be able to create so much beauty to last through time. Sometimes Akin would take us to visit the other planets of the system where, through eons, the people had turned them into fertile lands with many lakes and seas. All inhabited by people and gentle animals and with no overpopulation. Many beautiful birds, large and small, lived amongst the woods and forests, and the harmony and happiness of all flora and fauna could be felt and sensed with delight. Back home on Meeton, we settled to quiet relaxation in our lovely circular house. Our son needs a name, Akin said. A name that means something, something for you and something for me. Shall we call him Ailing, as his name must begin with A like yours? And it means noble, a prince of the royal blood, for indeed, he already has that bearing and manner, together with gentleness and humility, I suggested. My beloved, so be it. You have chosen well. The name sounds like our names, and we shall now gather everyone here to name our son and to celebrate this wonderful occasion. Claire dear, where are you? Akin called. Coming. She answered from the garden. And they discussed plans for a celebration. Let's have it out in the garden. It's so very beautiful. I need to preserve every precious moment of my life here. Only 4 months of Earth time. And it is going so quickly. But then, there are no years, months or weeks here for that matter. Time is not marked off in intervals, therefore we simply move in the stream of time which makes us ageless, I said with wonder in my voice. My beloved, you are ageless now without the restriction of months and years. Because of the stream of time on this planet, it will seem like only 4 months to you when I return you to Earth, Akan gently answered. Time is of no consequence here on Meeton. There is no night or day, or the marking of intervals of time. In fact, the higher vibratory frequency of light you are now immersed in will restrict the aging process of your body, and you will be younger when you return to Earth. 4 months are only applicable to Earth time. The aging process in days, weeks, months and years does not apply in the higher range of frequencies where the passage of time, and the span of human life, is so changed that the myth of Methuselah seems pale in comparison. Mankind, like the microatoms of light, can be stirred from their lethargy and attain eternal life through the electromagnetic nature of mankind. Through this sky we are able to renew themselves physically every 7 years through the element of pure thoughts and love, by simply strengthening electromagnetic energy and by adhering to that which they are. Time is not a factor in our lives, we live in timelessness. Our stars are eternal and constant in their output of radiation, the spiral waveform of light and time moving in harmonic frequency. The sun's system is not harmonically balanced, because the star itself is a variable, and because Jupiter is another star with its retinue of planets and satellites, also variable in its output. As a forming sun, Jupiter retains the radiations of a star, and thereby its closer planets benefit from this output. We describe the sun's system as a cluster system, a solar system within a solar system, Akan explained. All stars and planets affect one another and in return affect all flora and fauna throughout a system. Galaxies exert magnetic influence on all solar systems and we use these wavelengths of light for navigation purposes. The celebration took place in Akan's home and many of, some TXD is missing here, great civilization came from as far afield as the constellations of Lyra and Cygnus where solar systems with inhabited planets exist, as these scientists had, through eons, improved conditions there. They all loved Ailing and his beauty as a young child was something quite remarkable. His high intelligence and perfection of manner impressed even these great people and they wanted to take him away with them to the constellation of Cygnus. This is a fantastic success with a woman of a planet like Earth. We would like Ailing to visit us in our part of the galaxy. He will become a great scientist and benefit our civilization, they said. Oh no, Cygnus is too far away, at least 1,500 light years from Earth, to Deneb. Vega/Lyra is much closer, only about 26 light years from Earth. Please don't take him to Cygnus, there is going to be a supernova in that constellation, I told them. No dear, there is no need to be upset, we did not mean you. I to be. We will not take your son to Cygnus if you do not wish it. But we are very interested in your prediction of a supernova taking place in that area. We believe you and are aware of the star in question. Intuition and knowledge of the future is heightened with your son involved. Now we know the truth, we must ask Akan to accompany us back to Vega in Lyra to observe this very important occurrence. We have just sent a message to the home system in Cygnus to warn them to keep a watch on the star. This will mean the birth of another solar system, one of the scientists said. I looked at Akan, and his eyes reassured me and gave me courage, as I took Ailing's hand and we quietly went upstairs together. The timing of my heartbeats had started to go out of rhythm when the scientists had suggested taking Ailing away to Cygnus and now Akan would be going to Lyra, and would take Ailing with him to educate him to the mysteries of the universe. And I would be taken back to Earth, where I must impart all this knowledge to a struggling humanity, and in so doing, be parted from my beloved ones. The herbal juices help to regulate my heart, but in its endeavor to maintain the vibratory rate of the time continuum on Meeton, its rhythm became worse, and I had to remain indoors within a pressurized room suitable to the timing of my heart rhythm. Akin did not wish to implant a timing device, which would have regulated my heart to the electrical frequency of Meeton for all time, because I had to return to Earth and my heart's rhythm was tuned to Earth's electrical field through the influence of the Sunday. But even then, back on Earth, the rhythm of my heart would never be the same again after living on Meeton. I would never regain my health again either way. Not by the implant of a timing device or even the implant of a living heart, because the metabolism of my whole being was changed and subjected to a higher frequency rate in a different time dimension, which it can never recover from. The rhythm of the heartbeat varies in changed time field conditions through having to maintain normal circulatory pressure within the atmosphere of alien planets where light or gravity pressure varies. How worthwhile it all was, though, I thought. How wonderful. And I had really lived to the full as the divine essence of truth encompassed me, and the golden glory of Akin's love and Dailing's love would remain with me forever, never, ever to change. The trees outside were enveloped in the hazy mist of their respiration, releasing an abundance of oxygen into the atmosphere. How fresh and invigorating it was! All life responded and grew in abundance within such harmonious environs. To be a part of this life would be a joy forever to come, and to tune into this essence, to become one with it, would always be my privilege. I knew that when events and happenings on Earth became too much for me, I could always escape within myself and time into Akin and my son on their beautiful planet beyond the restrictive time field of Earth, and they would know of my need for them. Going back to the soil of Earth held a poignant moment. Leaving my golden boy, who would grow up quickly with Claire and Haben, a little boy whose gentle eyes already have the look of distance, the faraway look of wisdom seeing beyond the limited horizons of Earth-bound people. Within his eyes is the knowledge and wisdom of the universe, a four-dimensional vision into the hearts of mankind. A little boy conceived by love, nourished and quickened within my body on Earth, born on another planet beyond the light barrier to acclimatize his heart to a higher frequency rate in the electromagnetic waveform, where the how of time and the speed of light are harmonically interacted by the stars of his home system. He will grow up much quicker than Earth children and will not experience the darkening hand of death. There was no sadness or emotion as Akin's spaceship flashed from the lovely planet. I knew I would be back again soon. Soon. I was only going away to Earth for a while to do the work I had to do, to bring the truth of the universe to the peoples there. To help expand their consciousness, to make them aware of their existence in an energy universe, why they were born and why they are they, and why they must overcome their continuous strife. The darkness of space filled the viewer, except where bright stars gleamed and passed in the flow of time. Shalon concentrated with relaxed confidence on the course of the spaceship, his mind attuned to the radiations of Earth's star in telepathic, valves of alpha rhythm, brain waves of a particular frequency, for celestial navigation. His handsome face was a study in complete composure, with a lock of fine chestnut hair across his high forehead giving him the appearance of a legendary god in deep thought, his golden eyes meeting mine in a flash of understanding. Bluish radiations from the sun filled the viewer, and I saw her retinue of planets spaced out reflecting the light of their star. Only Jupiter shone with an internal radiation, her planets and satellites bathed in and reflecting the light from the star of their system and from the sun, a solar system within a solar system, where forms of life have their being, similar to elsewhere, their way of life attuned to the finer shell of atmosphere around their small planets. Then, before I could say anything, we were in the region of Earth's exosphere, then in the ionosphere, and in that instant I saw her face reflecting soft blue radiations dappled with white clouds as the spaceship smoothly changed frequency rate and appeared hovering over the mist-shrouded hills of Natal, to land gently beside the winding mountain track. Africans returning to the homestead after a day in the fields, scattered with fright like a covey of quail. Their shouts of alarm could be heard far away on the mist-covered mountain. The sky wagon from Cathkin, I heard them call to one another in Zulu, through the viewing lens, as the winding mountain track lost itself in the white mist and a telephone post stood grey and ethereal on the far bank of the track. Mardi Lel.